Hello, everybody. Welcome to Deacon's Lodge on a glorious Friday afternoon. We're up here at this magnificent golf course because the fine folks at Breezy Point have invited us up here. And if you want to look at a beautiful view of Greater Minnesota Golf Course, forget Greater Minnesota, any golf course, we're at it. We're at the inside part of the clubhouse here. We just had tremendous food. So thanks to the folks from Breezy Point and my longtime buddy Mark Neva, who runs this place for Deacon's Lodge. We'll get to that later in the show. But I'm just minding my own business about 10:30 or so. And my boy who's on the line right now, Johnny Krasinski, all of a sudden he points out on Twitter, just a minor little point, Mark Lorry, good to know you. He's out of here. Mark Lorry, who, along with Alex Rodriguez, purchased the Timberwolves from Glenn Taylor. It was obviously controversial because they ended up going to court on it when Glenn felt like they had missed a deadline or two, but in the end, Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez prevailed, and they bought the team for $1.5 million. There have been questions during the sale about did both individuals have enough money. Glenn raised some of those points also, but it seemed like all was set. And then you still would hear some whispers, even our own Henry Lake. We were having a conversation on Sunday asking me, what am I hearing about a possible sale? And I said, I don't think it's going to happen this soon. Henry was right. I was wrong because a gentleman named Mark Stead has purchased Mark Lorry shares for a valuation of $4.5 billion. That's right. Lorry and Alex Rodriguez purchased initially from Glenn Taylor at $1.5 billion, and now Lorry is out at an estimated value of $4.5 billion. Johnny Krasinski's all over this from The Athletic. I appreciate the time, as always. Pretty simple question to start. Why did Mark Lorry make this decision?
Yeah, Chad, I mean, you know, it definitely was surprising. But when you look at kind of the landscape of things and a couple of fronts here, it becomes a little bit clearer as to why. Number one is that Mark Lorry is right now in the throes of kind of trying to take his company Wonder public. And if you have noticed over the last year or so, Alex Rodriguez has really been the front-facing person in the ownership group. And Mark Lorry had been kind of absent because he has been busy trying to raise money, trying to get this this company in a position to launch into the public sphere. And really, I think he came to the conclusion that all of the money, all of the time and effort that he had to put into the Timberwolves and the Lynx was taking away from what he could do on that front. And so he did that, number one. Number two, the price tag of $4.5 billion. I mean, when you're talking about making $3 billion in just a couple of years, it's just an incredible return on investment as well. And so I think all of those things kind of lined up for him to say, you know what, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, a Wonder, I mean, it was a month ago I looked this up where they announced another series of evaluations at a $9 billion pre-money valuation. Time earlier this year named Wonder one of the most influential companies out there. It's another way of food delivery, Grubhub, DoorDash, taking it further. So let's go to this question, though, because the two of us on and off air had these conversations, the two of us with our sourcing, when Alex and Mark were stepping in to buy the team. There were questions about the money they had. For those folks who want to say, guess what? Mark never had enough money, cash on hand, that he was leveraged, that he's very successful, don't get me wrong, but that the money that you need to continue to operate his businesses and own the Timberwolves, that he just didn't have enough. For those folks who say that, are they right?
It's possible. What I would say, Chad, to that is I don't have a look at his books. I don't know exactly, you know, what his finances are, but there has absolutely been rampant rumors through the last couple of years, or really since he first came in as a limited partner, that, yeah, he has a lot of money, but it takes a heck of a lot more than that to be able to run a franchise. Now, what is hard to kind of gather is how much of it was any kind of personal finance issues and how much of it was that he is just now dedicating all of his finances to this Wonder project,
sure,
to his company. And anytime I would bring this up to Mark and Alex, I've brought it up to both of them. I've told them, like, look, a lot of people don't think you have the money. And one of their instant rebuttals is, well, why would the NBA approve us if we didn't have the money? They looked at our, they looked at our books. And so that's an easy rebuttal to have in your back pocket, is like, hey, the league looked at all our financials and they approved us, so we must be okay. I would, you know, you flip a company or you flip a team this quickly, it certainly doesn't help any optics of that you didn't have money issues. But I, you know, I think those are things that are all whispers and rumors, but never really proven one way or the other.
So when we look at Mark Lurie's involvement with the team, and it's shorter than expected, and we were reviewing his biggest impact on this organization, is it he and Alex approaching Glenn Taylor and saying, let's go get Tim Connelly? Because Tim obviously is a highly regarded general manager. He's just one of the five or six best general managers in the game. At that point, my report, and I think is with you, where Glenn's like, well, we don't really have a chance. And they went out and landed him. If it's not that, what else would you say when we look back at Mark's time here with the team?
Yeah, no, I do think that the ability to land Tim Connelly is number one with a bullet in his contributions to this team. And it's nothing insignificant at all about that. Because remember, like when they went and got him, he was under contract with the Denver Nuggets, a division rival with the best player in the league on their roster. And there are many, many teams, including I think the one that is in this town, that would have said, nah, we're not even going to try there. Like, he's theirs. We're not going to do it. That's not possible. We can't lure him away to a franchise that's struggling. And Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez combined said, you know what? We're going to go after him. We're going to pursue him. We're going to try to make this happen. And of course, Glenn Taylor was the one that had to sign off on it. And a lot of his money was put into the contract as well. But they got him, and Tim Connelly's helped build this team into a perennial playoff team, a perennial team that is going in past the first round in the playoffs, which has never happened before. Rebuilding the bridge with KG is another significant accomplishment. But I think that the Tim Connelly hire will be a number one on his resume list. And when you look back at what he did in his brief time running this franchise.
Pretty surprising news today that it happened this fast to a lot of people, that Mark Lurie is now out. Our friend John Krasinski from The Athletic, he's been all over this story this morning. Continue to follow him on Twitter and with The Athletic. Is it Stad? Is that the proper way to pronounce it? Do we know? Okay. So he's relatively, to be an owner, relatively young. He's 47. He manages this investment firm that only has what I like to call John Krasinski money, $35 billion in assets. I think I follow this team pretty closely. If the two of us would have been talking yesterday, and you're like, yeah, who are the minority investors in here? I would have said Bloomberg, Schmidt. I don't even think I would have said this guy's name. How has he emerged within that group to be the guy who stepped in and purchased the team from Mark?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Chad, like, for, in kind of reporting on this and talking to people around this situation, that is exactly how Mark's dad wanted you to not know. For the last 3 years, he's a very, very private guy. Even you go online, and a guy who is this wealthy, who has, you know, this many assets, you would think there'd be a lot more just publicly available information on him. There isn't a whole lot. He is very private. But he has been essentially the number three kind of partner in this group for several years now. He has been, I was told that he was involved in the LeBron recruiting a little bit from, on an outside thing. He's kind of been around the team and talked to Tim Connelly a lot. But he always wanted to be under the radar and just like behind the scenes. And I don't think that's going to change a ton now that he's the number one guy. I think you're going to see an even more front-facing Alex Rodriguez to handle a lot of the public kind of interactions that happen and with owning the team. This is just the way that Mark's dad rolls, and he's not going to be grabbing headlines himself. He's going to let Alex do a lot of that heavy lifting just in the public facing part of this thing.
Well, I'm glad you went there because I was going to ask that, and I'm not at as many games as you, not even close anymore, but I did notice, I mean, Mark Lowry was at how many home non-playoff games?
Yeah, not many.
I mean, like three or four? Like, I mean, I thought it was really notable, whereas Alex is there a lot. Alex is there on the road. Alex is there with their video presentations. He's with the players, and one of my first thoughts was, okay, because Alex Rodriguez has such a good and long-lasting relationship with Mark Lowry, how might this be different? But your initial thinking is, it's just Alex is still going to be every bit as out front. I guess we'll have to wait and see if the influence is the same. But on the visibility, Alex likes it. Well, let's be honest. Alex loves it. And it sounds like the new man doesn't care. So that's maybe a very good fit for their partnership.
Yeah, I think so. And that is kind of the important thing for Wolves fans to look at in terms of how does this affect things, you know, and the way that the team is run and operated. And the answer is not that much. You know, we saw the Lakers last week completely change ownership groups, totally new guys coming in. That's an entirely different situation than this. This is essentially a reorganization, a restructuring, because Mark Lowry is still going to be a limited partner with the team. So he's not even leaving permanently either. He's just taking less shares so that Mark's dad can have the controlling vote. But when you look at the way that they're going to go about it, Alex is still firmly number two on the kind of share list. And he is going to be very much involved in every decision that happens. Mark Lowry is going to kind of chip in more on big picture stuff, I think, like arena and a few other things, but he just is going to be kind of devoting most of his time to Wonder. And then Mark's dad is going to be at the top of the food chain, and he will certainly be the final call. He will make real decisions behind the scenes and hirings and trades and all those things he's signing off on. But I do think that if Wolves fans are going to be expecting to see Mark's dad like you saw Mark Lowry early on in his tenure, that's probably not going to happen. He's going to be more behind the scenes, and it's going to be Alex out front as the front man for this trio.
Two last points with my guy John Krasinski from The Athletic on the Wolves sale. In your reporting, you talked about Mark Lowry had a chance to sell this for more, but thought Stad was the better way to go on the continuity side. Just expand on that, and how much money are we talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, we saw last week that the Lakers' valuation went from like $10 billion to $12.5 billion in a year, right? That's what Mark Walter got. So the values of these franchises are exploding. And to our part of our earlier conversation, Chad, about the long-time speculation that Mark Lowry didn't really have enough money to hold on to this for the long term, that means there were always guys, groups, sniffing around, you know, hey, what would you take for it? Hey, can we take this off of your hands type of thing? And so I do think that $5 billion is not out of the question, maybe even a little bit more. And from what I'm told, like there were several people that were really showing interest in trying to get in to this, you know, sports franchise business. But Mark Lowry did say that he wanted to keep it in this family, in this ownership group's family, and he wanted continuity, and he wanted to make sure that kind of some of the plans they've laid forward, including starting an arena, including, you know, kind of just a lot of the other things that they've been doing, could be taken forward and not just completely blown up and start over. So I think that you're probably looking at an aggressive group could have come in at $5 billion or more and tried to like splash the pot and take it away. But that wasn't Lori's top priority in trying to make this decision here.
If you are a Glenn Taylor or let's go this way, and or the minority investors, and you see this today, and Glenn just sold it too low, and now in this short a period of time, Johnny, a $3 billion increase. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. No, it's incredible, Chad, when you look at it. And, I mean, we do have to add context here of when Glenn did sell the team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it was coming out of COVID. The Wolves were terrible. Like, there was so much uncertainty about what this whole landscape was going to look like. And so it was, $1.5 billion. I even remember back then, it was like, wow, somebody got $1.5 billion for the Timberwolves. Like, that was the thinking back then.
It's
but really, over in the last 3 years or so, I would say, 3 to 4 years, franchise valuations have just exploded. And of course, I'm sure that Glenn thinks and, you know, kind of is kicking himself a little bit for the way this went down. And I, you know, that was part of the whole arbitration process, I think, was, you know, there was a little bit of second thoughts of, hey, if there's a way to get out of this and get back into the market, that's what I should do. But I do think that, you know, if anyone had the foresight that it was going to be this kind of environment, he never would have done it. But we just didn't know back then when this all came to pass.
Great information as always, Johnny. I'll talk to you later and appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
John Krasinski, he will continue to be all over this story, whether on X or The Athletic. Number of texts coming in. What do you want to say about what has happened here with a sale? Mark, if you want to bring me back for an occasional game, I'm thinking, considering the valuation team, $10,000 a game. $10,000. That's only if Allen wants to take a break, or, by the way, I can't say who, but they're talking to some very highly regarded play-by-play announcers on TV. They're going to have some great people with my boy Jim Pete. But no, I'm kidding about that.